I have been laboring in my meditation and in my prayer over individuals in the Bible whose names have a special meaning. And there are spiritual applications that can be made. Tonight, I'd like to use Onesimus in the book of Philemon, if you'd turn there with me for a few minutes tonight. Kathy asked me what I was going to preach. I said, Lord, they've heard so much preaching, I can just take a pot shot. Of course, I was kidding, but it is somewhat humbling to come to this pulpit when you've heard so much preaching. And I count it an honor. I count it a blessing. Have I said that I love y'all and enjoy being with you? I do. I always am thrilled to come. Now, instead of reading the entire chapter, Paul has greetings in the early verses. And then he begins in verse number 8 to talk more specifically to Philemon about this man by the name of Onesimus. Verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold or forward in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, in other words, I'm not writing just to be hard or to push you, but for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. That verse really speaks to my heart. It's always better to get permission than it is to be demanding, isn't it? He said, I wouldn't do anything without your mind, Philemon. Verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved or beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. I'm going to leave off reading there. I want to direct our attention back to verse number 11, where Paul plays on the name of Onesimus. The name Onesimus means profitable. And Paul said, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. And so I think the name speaks for itself. I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight on being a profitable believer. The word, of course, suggests useful. Being a useful believer. Profitable. I had a dear friend by the name of Brother Horace Randall, who is now with the Lord. Brother Horace was saved from a terrible life of drunkenness. And not only drunkenness, but he then began to bootleg and use the back of his car for his business. And his testimony always blessed me. When he wanted to say something from his heart, he'd rub his fingers together. I don't know what that meant, other than get ready. And I heard him say on several occasions, he said, I tried to haul moonshine liquor, but he said, I was such a drunkard, I kept drinking up all my profits. In other words, it wasn't a profitable business for him. Well, I'd like to be profitable spiritually, wouldn't you? I'd like to be a useful servant. I thought of the text where Paul talked about being used, a vessel for the master's use, a vessel that is profitable. Well, I'd like to say three things from the verses that we have read. It's interesting that he calls him his son in verse number 10. Let me try to lay a little foundation. Onesimus had been a slave to Philemon. And apparently he stole something. He's wronged Philemon. And then he ran away. And as is often the case, that one who is guilty or that one who is living recklessly finds a hiding place among a lot of people. And he ended up going to Rome. We do not know how God in His providence arranged it. But somehow, maybe in prison, maybe he did something in Rome that caused him to become a prisoner. But he crossed paths with the Apostle Paul. And here Paul says, he's my son, indicating that now he's a believer. And he said in verse number 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, Mr. Profitable, whom I have begotten in my bonds. My son, which I have begotten. That is, God used Paul in the spiritual birth of Onesimus. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Mr. Profitable was unprofitable for you, Philemon. But now, since God has saved him, he's profitable to thee and to me. So I want to begin with the profitable life of Onesimus. How could one who has lived recklessly become profitable? One who was unprofitable, now be profitable and usable. Well, I want to say, first of all, it had to do with his deliverance. We should not expect sinners to be dependable. I know there are some who do their best. They strive to help their neighbor. They try to be honest. They do their best to be a good citizen or a member of the community. But the truth is, Divine grace is the only means of us being useful and beneficial to others. William Jay, in his excellent comments, said about Onesimus' conversion and becoming profitable. He said, divine grace never leaves us as it finds us. And so we believe that he could become profitable because now he's a son of God. Now he has been begotten by the Word. He has been begotten of the Spirit. And he's been begotten through the ministry of Paul. And so really, someone's life becomes profitable upon their deliverance from sin and their birth into the family of God. And so Paul speaks of that here. This one who has been reckless and wild has now been begotten. And Paul said, he's my son. He used that language about those that had been converted under his ministry. Remember, he called Timothy my son. He also referred to Titus as my son. Those are two outstanding ones. And now he calls Onesimus my son. We have not seen what Onesimus may become, and it's never reported. We know something about Timothy's life after conversion and Titus' life after conversion. But we don't know that much about Onesimus. But Paul has so much confidence in the work that God has wrought in his life, he's willing to call him too, my son. Now, would you notice further? I believe his life could be profitable not only because of his deliverance, but because of his dependence or his dependability. Paul said about him in verse number 6, he's not just a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul said, I know that you would think you could never trust him again after he's wronged you. But now he's profitable because he's dependable. He can be trusted. He can be believed. And he's usable as a servant. And he said, not only as a servant, but a brother, beloved. You can trust him, Philemon. Receive him in that light. May I say, beloved, God so works a work in our inner man that our outer man becomes dependable and useful. Does that mean that we are always dependable? I'd like to be. Kathy's been using this little phrase. We'll talk about our depravity and our helplessness apart from Jesus. And she says, but Tom, I want to be good. And I say, yeah, I do too. I want to be good. There's something in me that wants to be. But sometimes I find myself coming short of the goal. Do you? Oh, that God might so mold us and make us, as we sang earlier, and so work in our lives that we might not be undependable. That people might not shy away from us when it comes to our being a blessing to them, but may they depend upon us. May they trust us. Yeah. I was telling last night some of them, granddaughter Gwyneth, or Gwenny as we call her, she got in trouble at school. This girl, she said, when my wife asked her, well, what did she do to you, Gwenny? She said, she got on my nerves, Grandma. And she said, I slapped her. And so the teacher gave her a working over and said, now, we're not going to be doing this anymore, Gwyneth, are we? She said, no, ma'am. She said, Gwyneth, I'm giving you another chance, another opportunity. I want you to be the new Gwyneth now. not the old Gwyneth. And so she said to Kathy over the phone, Grandma, you're talking to the new Gwyneth. You're talking to the new Gwyneth. Well, I want to tell you, Paul's talking about the new Onesimus. This is one who can now be trusted. And not only was there deliverance and dependability or dependence, but there was the direction of his life that indicated he could be profitable. He could be a profitable believer. Paul refers to him here almost as a minister. He calls him a servant, but above a servant. He's a brother beloved. And he said he is like one with me. Now I'll say more about this in a few minutes. But Paul said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Brother, that's high. That's exaltation. It fascinates me how a man of Paul's stature could exalt somebody like Timothy. Can you imagine Timothy being endowed with spiritual qualifications through the ministry of Paul? Would you like to say, guess who my spiritual father is? The Apostle Paul. Wouldn't that be big? And even Onesimus, a lowlifer, can now be looked upon as a servant, one with Paul. Let me go ahead and illustrate this way. I believe Paul said to Onesimus, I feel like you need to go back and see Philemon. And Onesimus may have been hesitant. But Paul said, the Holy Spirit has inspired me to write a letter. And Onesimus, I want you. I think you're the one that should take it back. You should take it to Philemon. It involves you. So I want you to take the letter. And so Onesimus put it in his garb. He put it in his clothing. And he took it to Philemon. Where he read it or not, I do not know. I have a suspicion he may have. At any rate, when he got to Philemon, he said, sir, before you judge me, before you condemn me for my wrong, I want you to read a letter. This is from the Apostle Paul. And no doubt Philemon said, the Apostle Paul? Where did you see him? I saw him in Rome, sir. And he asked me if I would deliver this letter. And I can't help but feel that when Philemon got down to this part where he said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself, and if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I wonder if Philemon didn't reach out with his arms to embrace Onesimus and say to him, welcome home, Paul. No, he wasn't Paul, but Paul said, receive him as myself. Of course, you know there are gospel implications all through this little letter. And that's exactly what God has done for us in Christ. He's received us in Christ. And just as Philemon would receive Onesimus, for Paul's sake, so God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. We have a mediator. We have a go-between just like Onesimus had Paul as his mediator. We have God's Son. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so here is a man who had a past, but now he's a servant. He's a yielded servant of God. He's a blessing. And Paul says, I want you to receive him as you would receive me. I want to say, brother, God can turn our lives around and make the unprofitable profitable. Through his delivering power, he can make us dependable and trustworthy, and he can give our lives some direction. You know, every day of my life, I see people who are just wandering aimlessly through this world. They have no goal. They have no purpose. They live from Friday to Friday. And then they party on Friday and wonder where everything went. It's what they'd made last week. And then they do it again, go right through the same motions. They live without purpose, without aim, without goal. But I want to tell you, God is able to bring about a spiritual birth and make profitable people out of unprofitable people. Yes, sir. Oh, brother. So I've mentioned the profitable life of Onesimus. Let me build on that a little bit and talk about the profitable labors of Onesimus, of a believer. Now, I've already read this. I've already mentioned it briefly, but I'd like to underline it. The labors of Onesimus were profitable, just like his life now is profitable, because he was a servant of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, he's now a servant, and even much more than a servant. That is, I know he was your slave, and I know he did you wrong, but now he's a spiritual slave. He's helping me. In fact, he said there in one phrase, he's a brother, beloved, especially to me. That is, he's been a blessing and a help. Back in verse 13, he said, I would have retained him with me as in thy stead. I'd let him take your place. He's now profitable in his labors. He had labored for Philemon, but then he went astray. Now that God has saved him, he's ministering to the Apostle Paul. Can you hear him say, Preacher Paul, is there anything I can do for you today? Is there anything I can get you? Do you need some more parchment? Do you need some more ink? What can I do for you? Do I need to see somebody for you? He was a servant. He served the Apostle Paul. May I say, he's not only profitable in his labors as a servant of the apostle. But Paul said, he'll be beneficial to you too. He'll be a servant to me, and how much more unto thee. Oh, brother. Paul said he's a servant. He's profitable in his labors as a servant of the apostle, and he'll be profitable in his labors as a servant of Philemon the administrator. Now, I've not said a lot about Philemon other than Onesimus was his slave. Apparently, he owned a rather large dwelling and properties, and he had slaves working for him in various capacities. It's also believed that he was a key figure. Some even believe that he was a pastor at the Church of Colossae. His operation was in Colossae. And Paul said, brother, I'm sending him back to you to be a real servant this time. To be a genuine servant. I told you about my grandson Thomas, didn't I? He didn't know the difference. He loved cowboys, being a cowboy when he was little. So we bought him a hat, bought him a couple of holsters and play guns. I know that's a no-no in some circles, but that's not the circle I operate in. And we got him a little vest, and he'd ride that broom through the house. He's shooting all the criminals, buddy, and all of the Indians. And I said to him one day, when he came running, I was sitting on the couch meditating, and I said to him, Thomas, you're a genuine cowboy, aren't you? And in his high-pitched voice, he said, Papa, I'm not a genuine cowboy. I'm a real cowboy. Well, I want to say about Onesimus, he is genuine and he was real, brother. He was the real McCoy, bowing not only to Paul's authority, but to the administratorship of Philemon. He's come home and he's willing to serve Philemon in whatever way he must. In fact, Paul said in verse 19, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me. I'm not saying that you owe me something special. But he said, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. That is, receiving Onesimus will be a blessing to you and a blessing to me. Listen, God spreads his people around. It's one thing to be a servant in the church body. It's one thing to be a servant of some well-known servant of the Lord like the Apostle Paul. I'm going to tell you, God can spread us around and let us serve others. Let us serve those who get no attention. Serve those who are never exalted. And minister to those who are on a lower level. When the truth is uncovered, we're all but just a bunch of sinners that's come short of the glory of God. We don't want to stick our nose in the air at anybody else, but we want to get out where they are and minister to them, serve them. And so Onesimus eats his feelings and his wrong, and he comes back to Colossae to serve Brother Philemon. But here's the real issue. He's not only a servant of the apostle, and Paul promises he'll be a servant of the administrator of this household, Philemon, but he is a servant of the Almighty, a servant of God. Watch him now. He's the one that has stolen from Philemon. He's got a bad record. He's the one that wronged this man of authority. And the administrator here over this large setting in Colossae. But when he comes back, brother, he comes with a word from God. He comes with an inspired letter to Philemon. May I say, you may not be able to take courage in yourself. You may not be able to take courage in your situation, but you can take courage in the Word of God. And he comes back to Philemon as a servant of the Almighty, a servant of God. Can you see that? Somebody said, well, you just don't know me. You don't know my past. No, but if you bow to the authority of the Lord Jesus, you can be a servant of God. Huh? Yes, sir. I have met people who were nowhere near preachers. They were nowhere near teachers. In fact, I've used this statement. I believe God can use a man in the grease pit just as much as he can use a man in the pulpit. And I've met people who had unrecognized positions, but they had a servant's heart. They wanted to serve others and minister to others. How precious. How precious not to be just a servant of Paul or Philemon, but to be a servant of God. A servant of God. I want to serve the church. I want to serve others. But oh, I want to be at heart a servant of God. Do you? God grant it to be true. Now we've talked about the profitable life of Onesimus and the profitable labors of Onesimus. For a few minutes, I want to talk about the profitable lessons that are set forth here. This is sort of a general emphasis from the verses. First of all, to me, there's a great lesson here on the principle of identity. Now, at first, Onesimus was identified with Philemon. But then he wronged him. He marred this relationship. And he ran away, and he lost his identity, so to speak, in the multitudes of Rome. in the big city, in the life of recklessness and wildness. And he had, as it were, he had lost his identity to self and to Satan. But now he has an identity with the Apostle Paul. Paul called him a son. A son. Brother, that's quite an identity. And I have those in my life, and you have those in your life who are spiritual fathers. And they look at us as though we are their sons in the Lord. What an identity, brother. That was a time when I lived for nothing but myself. But how blessed that God would tie me to His people and join me to the body. I could be a part of the family of God. Now look at me. You're looking at a bona fide member of the body. I've been joined to the head. And I've been made one with God's people. I say I now have an identity. I don't have an identity crisis. That's what's said about many people in our day. Well, they've got an identity crisis. I don't have an identity crisis. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live by in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. They sang earlier the song about this shepherd is mine, brother. The sheep I no longer identify with bramble bush and the wild desert, but I've been found by the shepherd. I identify with the shepherd. Now, I used to make this statement, I believe it in a measure. I used to say, the Lord didn't need any of us, but we all needed Him. But now think of this. If He's going to be a father, He's going to have a child. And if He's going to be a shepherd, He's going to have some sheep. Brother, our identity is with Him. Our identity is with Him. Thank God. That's a profitable lesson taught in the life of Onesimus. One who had no identity, so to speak, now has an identity with Christ and with the people of God. I think there's another, and I might just point out as well, if God brings a sinner into our local body, into our assembly, and they identify with us, oh, may we not be hesitant to identify with them. Oh, somebody said, yeah, but you don't know what they're like. No, I know what I was like. And I know I deserve no attention. But hallelujah, in Christ and in the body of Christ, I have an identity. I often think about my younger years. When I came to the Lord Jesus and I bowed to His authority, I really had no friends. I mean by that, I had some fair weather associates. But when I came to Christ and gave my all, they left me like rats leaving a sinking ship. They had nothing to identify with any longer. Tom's different. And there's always those who will say something about, well, we'll see, we'll see. Ah, but brother, I identified with the Lord Jesus and with His people. How blessed, how wonderful to have an identity with Him and His own. Secondly, let me say that there's another profitable lesson, the lesson of accountability. Now, I realize that some people expect more out of us than we can produce. And this thing of accountability, I think, is in that realm. It's possible to only feel you're accountable to your dad or your mom or to others. But our accountability is to God. And accountable, of course, to others. But There are some people who are like loose mules. They act as though they're accountable. They're not accountable to God or anybody else. I was telling the pastor, my brother has been out of church a good bit because of his job, and he's admitted it wasn't all of just his job, but he's got out of tune with God. And on the Sunday that it snowed terribly back in December, 12 inches dumped in on us in just a matter of hours, and it was a mess. That was Saturday. But Sunday, some of us had our, those of us who lived in the city did something that they'd never done before. They cleaned out our little old driveway. They messed up my pretty, I'd really worked hard on that driveway, buddy. I had gravel on two sides and grass down the middle. It was a pretty thing. And they messed it up. No grass now. I'll have to work on it some more or just forget it. But I knew, I didn't have to vote on it, I knew our pastor would have the doors open at the church. And he'd had somebody clean off the parking lot. And it was my wife and myself and the pastor's wife and himself. And after we were there a few minutes, my brother came in. I believe God orchestrated it for me to be there. And he came in weeping. God had already done, he's already doing the work. Don't you like that kind? You don't have to pull and beg and plead, please. We're going to sing the 18th verse now, Just As I Am, and beg them to come. No, he came in weeping. And he brought his guitar. He said, I don't know if I can sing or not. He said, the Lord's really dealt with me the last few days. Well, we just listened. It wasn't a big grab. I'm going to tell you, he made a public confession. It was not a private confession just to God, but he felt accountable to the church. And he said, I've not only been wrong with God, I've been wrong with you, Pastor. And he said, Tom, I know you love me and you pray for me and I've not been right with you. I mean, buddy, he just laid it all out. That's called accountability. Accountability. And Onesimus didn't dodge Philemon. He didn't dodge his wrong. He brought that word from God that had been given to Paul and came right into the presence of Philemon. Ah, brother, I'm talking to you about accountability. Accountability. Of course, I know some people want you to rent the auditorium down here and be accountable to them and all the others that'll come to the big scene. But I'm not accountable to all out yonder. But I am accountable to the church. I'm accountable to God. And we see a picture of that. There's a lesson here. Not only about identity, but accountability. Can you imagine the peace and the harmony that would be in our churches if we'd accept our accountability to God and to the church? Amen. Then there's a third and final thought tonight. I tell you, I not only learn a profitable lesson on identity through Onesimus and a profitable lesson about accountability, but I learn a profitable lesson about humility. Some of the hardest things I've ever had to do is tell somebody that I was the one wrong. I was bad to pick up things when I was a boy. It weren't mine. I'd go through the store. I'd buy a Malacup or some other candy bar after school. I'd pay for one. Then I'd go out the back. The drink machine was out the back door. I'd go out the back with two or three drinks in my hand. Didn't pay for them. Or I'd steal a chaw of tobacco. Put it in my pocket. That's pretty easy to do. And I wasn't much at chewing it. I had a problem swallowing it. But I could sell it cheap to my buddies, make a profit. The unprofitable one making a profit. And when I got right with God, brother, God started dealing with me about going and seeing Charlie Ward, the manager of the store. And it was difficult, but I did it. I said, Charlie, I got to talk to you. He pulled up that little old stool. He said, what you got to talk to me about, Tommy? I said, well, I've been a thief. He just laughed. He said, a thief? What do you mean? I said, Charlie, only God knows how much stuff I've stolen out of this store. And I said, I don't know how to reckon with it. I don't know how to pay you back. But if I need to work outside or if you've got something I can do, I'll pay you all I can. But I need to get it right with you. And I want you to forgive me. And I want to get it right. And he went to weeping, this grown man. He said, why, Tommy, you just paid me. You just paid me being honest about it. And coming here like a man and telling me that you've done me wrong. Are you listening to me, folks? I'm talking about humbling ourselves and getting everything settled. Getting a clear channel. Getting it all straightened out with God and men. Oh, what a story. Here comes Onesimus. He was laden with guilt, but he comes right to Brother Philemon, and he's a real man. He stands before him guilty, but he's got the Word of God to lean on. And Brother Philemon said, welcome home, Paul. Just like he was receiving Paul. Receive him as myself. Of course, there's a lesson there too, isn't it? If somebody comes and asks forgiveness, we should receive them. Oh, yeah. You think I didn't cry a while with my brother and hug him? We got to receive people. We know Jesus received us, and we're to receive others. Somebody said, well, I don't know where they're genuine or not. Well, I'd say some of them didn't think I was genuine either. But I'm grateful they didn't push me on out. They were honest with me, but they loved me. And I'm grateful and thankful. I'm talking about being profitable. You've heard the story, but let me remind you again tonight about the two sons in the Taylor family in England. The older son aspired for a name, prestige, and he worked his way through school and ended up in the Parliament in London. He made it big. The younger one, however, was won through the gospel and the ministry of others. He gave his life to Christ and eventually went to China as a missionary. He was the founder of the China Inland Mission. You'll find much in different encyclopedias about Hudson Taylor. One encyclopedia only has this about his parliamentary brother. It read, the brother of Hudson Taylor. It's worth it all to be his child, brother. It's worth it all to walk with him and to serve him and to take the less favored highway and go with God and become a profitable believer. Onesimus' name means unprofitable. But Paul said, I know he's been unprofitable. But now he's profitable to thee and to me. That's what I had on my heart tonight. Being a profitable believer. You interested in that? Oh, I am. Would you stand with me, please?